This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father Lord, thank you for a time of worship, praise, declarations, affirmations, thanksgiving in the place of songs that we have brought to you. Thank you how you have helped us to acknowledge you. I want to thank you for the prayer sections. Thank you for breakthroughs in prayers. Thank you for that first word section that you bore witness to your handmaidens for establishing our heart again. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for this short time we have to receive again from you. I ask that you grant unto us another mercy again. I cooperate with you, Jesus, and your angel. I will minister to us greatly, Lord. You will bless us with your word. We will bless us with plenty of your spirit. In the name of Jesus, grant unto us great access and breakthrough in the spirit. Bring establishment into our heart again. Show us great help in the spirit. I agree with your angel that is ministering together with you, Jesus. You came here with your angel ministering as you are ministering. He's ministering alongside with you. And you caused me to join force with you and join force with your angel to bring the blessings that you are preparing your heart to us greatly, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Honor you, Son of God. Glory to you, Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we are prayed. I'm starting a series. Let me introduce it today. I'll be teaching on knowing the own counsel of God. So I'm trusting the Lord that I'll be teaching that for a period of time. That word, O-W-H-O-L, was coined from the word NIV. But King James Version, out of Apostle 20, call it all the counsel of God. Instead of the O, he used the word all the counsel of God. We are going to be doing a lot of foundational laying. Now I started doing that already. One thing that is very important in the heart of Jesus, Jesus is intended to check our works this year. Jesus is very, very particular about works. Works are conversations. They are desperate to receive conversation from us. And for that matter, a good conversation. Some of us came from church that day, what they give themselves to is to evangelism. And nothing is bad about it, to do evangelism. Some of us come from churches that do a lot of prayers. And what is to do by prayers is to bring forth establishments. So we came from different churches. So churches have never done Sunday school Bible study. And there can never be conversation without such arrangement. But the essence of my whole teaching also is to bring about a lot of establishment. So when you hear the word, all the counsel of God, out of Apostle chapter 20, verse 16. For Paul had determined to say by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hastened, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And for Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the churches. So you know that the elders of the churches here of Ephesus, they are not physical age. How Paul ordained elder for churches is not by age. What makes you to be an elder is because you are a partaker of the suffering of Christ. That's one of the conditions that make you to be an elder, is that you are a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. You'll find that one in 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you are exhort, who also am an elder. And what? A witness of the suffering of Christ. So, pros. So, what made up an elder is sufferings of Christ. So, Paul gathered the elders of Ephesus. So, elders is not by age. What makes it to be an elder is suffering. And suffering has to do with pressure. When you hear the word suffering, pressure not to do with God's dealing upon your life. Not demonic dealings. Not oppression of evil spirits. But the deal that the Lord orchestrated. Sufferings are what God allowed. That's another word for suffering. The thing that God allowed. And over time, you have submitted yourself to give God allowances in your life. Again and again and again and again and again and again. And by reason of giving God allowance again in your life again and again, it's not like you don't have alternative. Because there will always be alternative and options in life. If you go to 1 Timothy, you will see the criteria for an elder also. When you go to Titus, you also see the criteria for an elder also. So everything that Paul listed in Timothy 3 and he listed in Titus 1 are all sufferings that made up an elder. You cannot be an elder when he said an elder must be a husband and one wife. A man that have put his children under subjection. A man that is not drunk with wine. A man that does not love money. You know the love of money. Money there is to be a fitty look. Say fitty look. That's his money, fitty look. That's a man that loved money, which was the warning of Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So that does not mean that you don't have money. You can have money, but you will not be a lover of it. So all those things put together are what make up sufferings of Christ. So he gathered the elders of the churches for Ephesus. And you have to know Ephesus is a province. It's not just a city. Different towns made up a province. So Ephesus is a province that have different towns. And from different towns, he called for all the elders from different towns and villages that the gospel that have their herders. And when they were come to him, he was in Miletus. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. So you can see himself is also giving criteria that he himself is an elder. And he told them that they can bear witness to him the manner, the kind of a man he has been at all seasons. Say seasons. You must know that there are different seasons in our life. I'm not talking about season your natural life. Season your walk with God. They don't see you as a faithful soul if you have not gone through different seasons in your walk with God. In my journey towards God, there are different seasons. My walk with the Lord is not just one spread. I'm going to have different seasons in my walk with God. God uses the natural to tell us what is applicable in the spirit. In Nigeria, we have two major seasons. Am I right? We have rainy season. We have dry season. During our dry season, we experience Harmattan. So we have little season, but in abroad, like in UK, they have four different seasons. They have winter, they have summer, they have autumn, and they have springs. So you can see that likewise, all these four seasons, according to some other part of the country, also there are seasons in your spiritual lifetime. You have seasons. For example, one of the seasons in your spiritual lifetime is the season where you are an infant in the spirit. It's a season. You are an infant in the spirit. And what infant experience, what an infant does, what an infant experience, and what an infant look for, you also must look for it. Also, there's another season from being an infant, you also move to become a toddler in the spirit. There are toddler in the spirit. It's not only in the physical time that you're a toddler. That's why it's a toddler. And there are time, also another season, where from being a toddler, you move to being a teen. And from being a teen, it's a season. And from being a teen, you move where you become young man or young adult. And from there also, we finally move and become a man. And these all different faces, they are just seasons and faces that are in Christ. So in Christ, you have a baby in Christ. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. What everybody has what? But as unto babe, as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So it's not in Christ there are babes. Also, Hebrews chapter 5. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need I won't teach you again, will be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become as have needs of meek and not strong meat. 1 verse 13. For everyone that uses meek is unskillful in the world of righteousness, for he is a babe. So what he make mention are the first principles of the oracles of God. Say that, church. So the first principle of the oracles of God is what is called the meek of the word. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. So you saw there is the first principle of the oracles of God, and there is the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. They are not the same. The first principles of the oracles of God are meek of Christ, which are for babes. But the principles of the doctrine of Christ is the meat of Christ. So the first principle, of the oracle of God, is the meek of Christ. And the principles of the doctrine of Christ is the meat of Christ. Because you saw that in that chapter 5, verse 12, it says, for the time you ought to be teacher, you have need I won't teach you again. That would be the first principle of the oracles of God. And become as one that have what? Need of meek and not of strong meat. So if there is meek and a strong meat, you show that there must be something between meek and strong meat. So what is in between the meek and strong meat is meat. So that meat is the meat of Christ. You also saw the same thing in the scripture that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babe in Christ. Verse 2, want to go? What is meat? When it's fed you with meat and not with meat. What is meat? When it's fed you with meat, what is meat? Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 30 to 34. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. You know this story of Samaritan woman. In the meanwhile, his disciple praying, saying, Master, eat. So Jesus told his disciple that he has a meat that he eats that they don't know about it. So he shows Jesus has a meat that the disciple does not know about it. And we are sure that the meat that Jesus is talking about here is not physical meat. So he shows that the disciple have access to some kind of food that is different from the kind of food Jokers has access to. So Jokers told him that he has a meat that he does not know up of. So I have a meat to eat that you know not of. Verse 33, want to go everybody? Then verse 34, want to go?
Joker says meat is to do the will. Say the meat,
the meat
is the will.
The will.
So when you hear the word meat in the Bible, the meat is talking about the will. It's talking about the will. So what does this place now mean? So when you hear the word meat, if meat is the will, strong meat is strong will. So meat is the will, and strong meat is strong will. So I have fed you with meat, and not with meat. Why? 1B. Everybody, let's sit together for what? Say that, church. For what? For it at all, you were not able to bear it. Eh? Neither yet now are you able to do it. So the will is not what everybody can do. So if you are a babe, you can't do the will. So God does not feed a babe with a will. Even if you are hearing it, you can be hearing, you can be in a church that is serving meat and strong meat. You can hear it. That does not mean you are eating it. Because you can't eat it. And the intention of God for every one of us is to come into the whole counsel of God. Is to partake of the whole counsel of God. God wants you to move from meat to meat. And finally move into strong meat. But the meek of the world is introduction. Meek of the world is nourishment to prepare you for a time of the will of God. So they call meek of the world in Act of Apostle as the apostle doctrine. In Act of Apostle chapter 20 from verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them 3,000 souls. Want to go verse 42. And they continued steadfastly were in apostle doctrine and fellowship. So what they call apostle doctrine and fellowship is what they call meek of Christ. Say apostle doctrines. And fellowship. So they continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So we can see that these apostles were disciples. That Jesus told them, I have the meat that I eat that you know not of. I have the meat that I eat that you know not of. So the meat that Jesus was talking about that he has or is eating that they do not know of, I said that meat is the will of God. But the apostle, they have what they could feed on. And what they could feed on was well, eventually what became their beginning doctrine to the church. So what they were serving the church that they call apostle doctrine is their doctrine. It's when they say it's the apostle doctrine, that means that it was what they themselves had at that time. All the 11 apostles, before they added the 12 one after they took away the bishopric of Judas Iscariot, all that this apostle had is for them to be able to teach. Not the meat of the world, but to teach the meek of the world. So the apostle doctrines were introduction or preparing believers in their thousands. In their thousands, they could only prepare believers for the will of God, the meat. So history made us to know that for 13 to 17 years, what was available in the midst of the churches was just this apostle doctrine. And the apostle doctrine were just meek of the word. And apostle doctrine is not the whole counsel of God. That is not all what God has in mind to give to his people. That's not what God has in mind. Imagine 13 years. All what the church was feeding on was was meek, 13 years. The apostle of Lord Jesus Christ that walked with him, though by reason of their own conversation, the kind of life they were living, because they lived with Jesus, they saw the man of man that Jesus was. Because one of the criteria for them to choose them to be apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, like Kenneth Hagin taught in the book he gave to men, what made up all the second class apostles? Because Jesus himself is the first class apostle. What made up of the first class apostle is that they walk with Jesus in their flesh. You'll find out in the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 1, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of all disciples and said, the name above the names, we have 120 men and brethren. This scripture must need have been fulfilled. Would the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David speak before concerning Judas, which was God to them that took Jesus? For he was numbered with us and have obtained part of this ministry. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all the bowel gushed out. And was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akena. That is to say, the field of blood. Verse 20, for it is written in the book of Psalm, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And it's been sharply like another take. Wherefore of this man who has company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Beginning what? From the baptism of John unto that same day that was taken off from us. Must one be ordained to be a witness of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barnabas, who was surnamed Justice, and what? And Matthias. So eventually they cast lot, and the Lord picked Matthias. So this was how Matthias joined the 12. So the condition, which was right with what Papa again wrote in the gift to men, that the second class apostle must have been the one that walked directly with Jesus. So all these people that walk with Jesus, 12 of them that Jokai chose, they are what they were supposed to bear witness to. He said, one must be ordained to be a witness with us, what? Of his, what? Resurrection. So their commission was clear. Their ordination was not in confusion. What the 12 apostles taught and what their emphasis was on the resurrection of Jesus. Because on the resurrection of Jesus is hinged the foundation of our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and therein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part of them remain as at the time that Paul was writing this epistle. Out of 500 people that saw Jokers at once when he resurrected, five more, he said, a larger people than they are still alive until this present, but some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So he make mention of all the apostles, which are different from verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Then, and after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So these all apostles are different from the 12. So one of the criteria that make you to be an apostle, you must have seen Jesus. You are not an apostle because you have itinerary ministry. You minister in UK, America. You minister in Canada. And go there to go and do crusade. That does not make you to be an apostle. You are not an apostle because you dream and saw Jesus bleeding in his hand. What to make you to be an apostle is that you saw the Lord, because Peter didn't see the vision of the Lord. What may I say? He was seen of Cephas and the 12. He was not seen by, he was not to dream. They saw Jesus. So your own apostolic ministry cannot be because you saw Jesus in the dream or in vision. Because those that caused the apostolic ministry, it was not through vision that they saw them. Neither was it by any other medium. Bible says, but it was seen by James. James was Jesus' brother that did not believe in him. But after the resurrection, Jesus came to appear to him. So eventually, he also believed Jesus. So the criteria that makes you to be an apostle is that you have seen the Lord. So the 12 that saw Jesus became witness of his resurrection. And all other apostles that saw Jesus, they also give them their own ordination. Their own ordination was not to witness about resurrection of Jesus. Because each of appearance of Jesus, they have ordination or what they must bear witness to. And it's in all the acquisition of the witnesses that made up the whole counsel of God. So you saw that the 12, by the reason of what they saw about the Lord Jesus, they had their own ordination. And their ordination is to be a witness of what they have seen. Because later you will see John the divine in the book of 1 John. Chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hand has handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life, which was the Father, and was manifested unto us. So you saw by this time around, John was part of the people. That was the 12th apostle. But he was bearing another witness. It was his throne of witness have shifted from bearing witness to resurrection of Jesus. He said he is now seeing another thing that's higher than what the 12th apostle saw. So he's bearing witness to eternal life. So from bearing witness to resurrection of Jesus, that he was part of them, along the line, he moved in his witness. That he bearing witness to that which was in the beginning. So you can see that the thing that he was bearing witness to was not what happened in Jerusalem for 3 years and a half that God lived among them. He was bearing witness to something that was before creation. So you saw that there was movements, there was gradation, that they graduated from one ordination into ordination until they get into the fullness of what God has ordained for his church. So you see that when they chose those who were with Jesus Christ in the flesh, they said, why we are choosing the one to ask is to bear witness to his resurrection. But later, one of them that was amidst them said that what is bearing witness to is not just to resurrection, is bearing witness to what they have seen, what they have heard, what they look upon, what they have handled. And that witness is the thing that manifested to them, and that thing is the word of life that was in the beginning. So over time, they grew into these old things that God has in mind. So you saw that even apostles, which were disciples of Lord Jesus, they also started. They started from the basics. They started with the meek of the word, but they progress. A big amen. Amen. They progress. So even apostles, they themselves, they journey. They journey. So when Jesus told them, I have have a meat that I've eaten of that you know not what. So it was glaring that Joga is no things that the disciples do not have a clue about. But over time, they came into what Jesus knew and what they partook of, and that also eventually came into his experience. How do somebody say, Daddy, how do you know? I know it. It's in the Bible. Guess it, John chapter 14. I'll be when the Spirit of truth is come. He will teach you. He will guide you from John chapter 16. From verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. From verse 7. It is evident for you. It is evident for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. That you cannot bear them now. Same way, just I told those disciples, apostles. Paul also is telling the Corinthian church of the same. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babe in Christ. I have fed thee with milk and not with meat. Hitherto, you are not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able to. So just the same way that I told the disciple in 12. He said you can't bear it now. Paul also came to a time when he told the church that they can't bear it now. So when I told the disciple, have meat, I've eaten that you don't know about. It's like I was saying that there are things that my Father and the Spirit of truth gave me that he could not give to you. So what, though they walk with Jesus, what God could give to them and what the Holy Ghost could give to them even after they receive baptism of Holy Ghost. The allocation the Holy Ghost could give to the apostle that walk with Jesus, that he only gave them the meek of the word, which is called the apostle doctrine. So what the church fellowship with, because the apostle doctrines are fellowship. Say fellowship.
Fellowship.
Because what the apostle made the church to fellowship with is doctrine that they had. But when you read book of John that we read the other time, 4 John chapter 1, by the time you read chapter 3, John also say, but I fell with the Father and the Son. So you see, fellowship has changed. From apostle doctrine of art to, by the time you get to 1 John, fellowship have changed. So there was a gradation. There was gradually moving from one allocation until they arrive at the full allocation of the will of the counsel of God. And counsel of God must be declared in the congregation of God's people. Psalm 40. This was a psalm of Jesus. From verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou have done. And thy thoughts which are to us word, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I will declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. This thing we're talking about, Joker. Sacrifice and offering, thou did not desire. My ears are thy open. But offering and sin offering, thou have not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, is it on me? Verse 8. I delight to do thy will. So what is thy will? I delight to do thy meat. I want to partake of thy meat. Oh my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. Look and now see, what is the will? They began to open up what the will is. I have preached righteousness because he said, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. What contained the will program? What made up the will? If the will is the meat. If the will is the meat, what made up the will? What made up the will? So look at what he called the will. Verse 9. I have preached righteousness where? In the great congregation. They also put out a congregation. They call it church. Assembly. Or congregation. So I preach righteousness in the great assembly or in the great church. Lo, I have not refrained my lip, O Lord, that knoweth.
Verse 10.
I have not had the righteousness within my heart.
The righteousness will be within my heart, but I didn't just leave it only to my heart. So this is a Messiah psalm of Jesus Christ. Joker is going to fulfill this psalm first. This psalm, nobody did this psalm. It was Jesus. So David was not talking about himself. David was talking about the person of Jesus. That Jesus will come to do all the will of God. David was also a man that did all the will of God. So David did the will of God in his own generation and fell asleep. This man that was talking about it was Jesus. David was talking about another man. He fulfilled it in a shadow. But the man that came to fulfill the fullness of it was the person of Jesus. Because it was Jesus that offered his body.
I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I've not conceived thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation.
We told not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me.
So you can see what made up the meat. What made up the meat? Everything meat are righteousness. Thing that made up meat are thy faithfulness. Thing that made up meat are thy salvation. Thing that made up meat are thy loving kindness. Thing that made up meat are thy truths.
You can see these are things that when they open the word of the wheels, these are things that made up the wheel. Righteousness is faithfulness, is salvation, is loving kindness, is truth, is tender mercies. These are the things that you call the wheel.
When a man is learning righteousness, he's learning the wheel. When a man is learning the faithfulness of God, he's learning the wheel. When a soul is learning of God's salvation, he's learning the wheel. When a soul is learning of God's loving kindness, he's learning the wheel. When a soul is learning the truth of God, he's learning the wheel. When a soul is learning God's tender mercies, he's learning the wheel.
These are different components of the wheel. But all of them are the summation of the will of God.
These are all what you will say a man has learned and mastered them. For you, before you will say, this man has come to the whole counsel of God. These are what you will say a soul has learned and get done. You will say a man has finished the works of God.
So, because the will of God is what you do as the works of God.
So, what you do as the works, you must not do anything until you have known the will of God. That's why they don't bother babe with the will of God. They give them meek. Because baby cannot do the will of God. Nobody give works for baby to do. Have you seen a baby of 6 months old and say, well, take this gallon, go and fetch me water.
So a babe does not have access to the will of God. They excuse a babe from the will of God.
What they give to the babe is a preparation to take something and grow, ready to be able to do the will of God. Because to do the will of God is to do the works of God.
He said it in that John we read.
For you know what kind of meat I've eaten. My meat is to do the will of He who has sent me and to finish His work.
So the will connects you to work.
So the whole counsel of God is all will of God. All the counsel of God is the will of God. But despite that the meek is not the part of the work of God, but meek of the world is also part of the counsel of God. It's a preparation.
So meek of the world is part of the counsel of God. It's a provision that does not have works attached to it. Yeah. Or it does not have an evident works attached to them. Because in meek of the world,
they will see your faith and your love for all the saints. When you fellow with the meek of the world, you have access to faith and love for all the saints. But what was the problem there? The problem there is that those things themselves does not make the soul graduate. They does not make the soul graduate. Because what God is telling is that the soul should graduate. To graduate into become spiritual. Because the will of God is for a soul that becomes spiritual. Paul said, I fed thee with meek and not with meek. Because you are still carnal. You are carnal. You are carnal in your mind. You are carnally minded. When they ask you about your choices, you are carnal. When they ask what is your hope is carnal. And what the apostle preached to them was the resurrection of Jesus, which I was trying to read for us in that 1 Corinthians 15. After that, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. So he said that outside the 12 apostles, because on later there was an error that came into the church. After that, people said there were no longer other apostles anymore. They said the only apostle that Christ chose were only 12, that there's not any apostle. But this scripture made us to know that there were other apostles outside the 12. Because in chapter 7, he said, and then he was seen of James, then verse 5, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Then verse 7, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So there were other apostles that rose up from the church that were different from the 12. One of those apostles that rose up was Barnabas. The Bible said there were some prophets and teachers in Antioch. As they were ministers to the Lord said, separate from me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work appointed them. So by this, you saw that Barnabas came into apostolic ministry later. Then Paul was not part of the 12. James, the Lord's brother, was not part of the 12. So James saw the Lord. Then Paul also met with the Lord on the way toward Damascus. So he was listed. Then when they were having fellowship in Antioch, then they added Barnabas to part of the apostle. Barnabas was one of the people that they chose at first. But the Lord does not fall on him. But later, Holy Ghost chose him. If the Lord of man does not fall on him, Holy Ghost bring this man, I want him. Really, really, he shall be the one. When you read Romans chapter 16, you also saw other apostles that closed up in the churches in Romans chapter 16. Even this, some of them were apostles before Paul. Salute what? And Junior, my kinsman, my fellow prisoner, where to go? Who are of note among the apostles who also we are in Christ before me. So these people, they were not the apostles. Who are of note among the apostles who also we are in Christ before me. Yes. So this one, after the 12, there were other apostles that also rose from the church. So here we can see clearly 1 Corinthians 15, 15, 7, 8, 9, 10. After that, he was seen of James and all apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles. So he was the least. Paul was the least. So they were, he said, Julia, and he said they were apostles. They are noted among the apostles, and they were in Christ before him. Then I am the least of all the apostles of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which bestowed upon me was not in vain, by labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach and so you believe. So take note of that one. So we preach and so you believe. Then verse 10. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead. So what was the teaching of those apostles? That rose, Christ rose from the dead. How say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain. And your faith also in vain. And yea, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins.
then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So you see that the preaching of the 12 apostles, which was the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is to lay the foundation of hope in you. So the hope that apostles of Jesus Christ was preaching, they were preaching about bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. The whole counsel of God is not only about resurrection of body of Jesus Christ. There are other resurrection outside the resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ. Because before Jesus died and resurrected, when he was in the tomb of Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. The 12 apostles don't know about that resurrection work. So the resurrection that they could bear witness to was the body resurrection. And that's why we know that in the last day, even if you die, you will end up putting your body back again. That was what the 12 apostles were teaching. But that was just a counsel, not the whole counsel of God. So it was on that the faith and the hope of Christianity was built. No religion on earth promise resurrection, even of your body. Most religions say when you die, that's the final day. Most of them, what they say that your soul will go to Alujana, but you not come and take your body. It was the gospel faith of Jesus that promised that if God raised the body of Jesus, your own body also will be raised. So that was the message that they call apostle doctrine. And based on that, that's why you cannot teach the meek of the word. And you do not talk about that the body of the saint can be healed. It will not be correct for you to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ and say that the secret of diseases should still remain in the body of the saint. If you teach it, you have not declared that teaching that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Because in teaching that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, everything, according to Isaiah chapter 3, he bore it in upon his body. 1 Peter chapter 2, the last three verses. 23, 24, 25. Who, when he was revered not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but commit himself to him that judges righteousness. Who his own self bow our sin and his own body on the tree, that we've been dead to sin, should live on to what? Righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. So part of the counsel of God is to teach about your healing of your body. Any gospel that says because you are serving God, you should be sick in your body, is not part of the counsel of God for you. Because your cursed body was raised from the dead. So part of the counsel of God for you is that because he bore on his body your sins, he not only bore your sin, and what brought your sickness and diseases, what brought your pain, what brought your ache, is sin that brought it. When there was no sin, you didn't have sickness in your body. If he bore the source, then the causes were also taken. Because there is the cause and the source. If he called it the source, then he also bore the causes or the effects of the source. So that's why you see the apostle, as they were preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they were also healing the bodies. They were healing the bodies. You see, again, say, and with great sign bore witness. Acts chapter 4 from verse 33. Want to go, everybody? And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the dead of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There's no way you preach the apostle doctrine without to say that God raised Jesus. Because you know that everything you plant, when you take a seed of maize and you plant it, it does not return back with the former body. The former thing died with it. So everything that was on the body of Jesus Christ
that was laid on him, according to Isaiah chapter 53, your sickness, your diseases, was laid on his body, and was buried, and he was raised back. So everything that is not in the body of your Christ will never be in your body. It should never be in your body. It should never be in your body. I said it should never be in your body. That is the beginning of the counsel of God. But what they want you to come into the whole counsel of God. Or the counsel of God. So when something comes to your body, you say, what are you doing in this body? Don't you know this body has been bought with a price? Therefore, I need to glorify God in this my mortal body. So you have no place to stay in this body. This body, don't you know, is a temple of Holy Ghost. As it's written, whosoever defy God's temple, I, the Lord, will destroy it. So whatsoever is not part of resurrection of Jesus, I have no place to lay on your body. That is the beginning of the counsel of God. Do you believe in salvation of your soul? Yes. If you believe in salvation of your soul, you must also believe this one also. If you only believe in salvation of your soul, you don't believe in this. You have not believed the whole counsel of God. And Paul end of Ephesus, he said, I've not neglected to show unto you I have not shown to the Ecclesia Church. That means I didn't shy away from it. I didn't shy away from it. I didn't shy away from you to declare to you all the counsel of God. So that means you start taking care of the counsel of God. It's the introduction, but you must believe it. And you must appropriate it. So you say, with great power, the apostle bear witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so you will not only preach it, you must bear witness to it by the way you live in your body. You must bear witness to it. Father, Lord, we thank you today. We honor you, Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.losuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.